Busy weekend in Hollywood. Should be a busy season over the next 6 weeks or so. And here to tell us all about it is our Hollywood guru, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
So far, so good, my man. I want to begin with something that I've been hanging on to for a little while. Daniel Day-Lewis is in the process. Actually, I think he's done filming it. He's done filming his what's apparently going to be his last film. He's going to retire after Phantom Threat, which is coming out on Christmas Day nationwide. Two things here. Number one, what's this movie all about? And do you really think he's going to be done when this is over?
Well, we talked, what was it, a couple months ago. We kind of did, I think, before the influx of fall movies came out. I kind of gave my Oscar predictions. And I said, come Oscar season, Best Actor is going to be between Daniel Day-Lewis and Gary Oldman. And it's, from what I'm hearing, everything with everything coming out now and all that, that really hasn't changed. And so I'm very excited for this. It's called Phantom Thread. It's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. And for those that don't know, he's done Boogie Nights, directed Inherent Vice, The Master. I'm missing one. That was a big one of his. But he's one of those few directors that anytime he makes a movie in the cinephile community, it's a big deal. And he doesn't make one. Oh, the one I'm missing was the big Daniel Day-Lewis one, There Will Be Blood, which Daniel Day-Lewis won Best Actor for and may have been PTA's best film. And so the fact that the two of them are reuniting is huge because, like I said, it was one of his best films, one of Daniel Day-Lewis's best films. And so it's basically about in the 1950s, a world-renowned dressmaker or stylist becomes enamored with this woman, and it's about their lives and about his life as a dressmaker and everything that goes with it. It, like I said, it doesn't set, on the basis, it doesn't sound like super exciting, but when you have Daniel Day-Lewis, when you have PTA, the trailer looks beautiful. It's very exciting, so I'm very excited. Can't wait to see it. And plus, with what you asked about his retirement, I don't know. It's one of those where I don't. Anytime an actor says they retire, I don't necessarily believe it. But there are some like Rick Moranis, Gene Wilder, who retired and have not come back. Jack Nicholson really hasn't. Said he was retiring, hasn't been anything since either The Departed or The Bucket List, one of those. And then even though his name keeps coming up for films, you still don't see him. And so I tend to believe that he's going to be retired for a while. Do I believe he'll be retired forever? No, but he was always a different kind of an actor that picked his projects very carefully and never oversaturated it. He's done maybe what? One a film every two or three years. I think the last one was Lincoln. So it doesn't surprise me that he's retiring, but if I'd be shocked to say we never see him again.
I mean, it's 60 years old, too. So he's not a spring chicken, but at the same time, he's not old by Hollywood standards either. I mean, it's 60 years old. It just feels like there's more for him to do, and you know how retirement can work, especially for some folks. You know, clearly he's made a lot of money, but at the same time, this is the kind of guy I think you could see resurfacing again in a few years.
Oh, for sure. And what you said, like, he's 60, but, you know, there's never really an age cap on actors per se. Like, some, you know, do dwindle off when they get older age because they aren't able to play older characters, like you see with De Niro and Pacino. They just weren't able to keep that same fire they had when they were younger. And you get that a lot. Jack Nicholson was able to, you know, play older characters. De Niro's tried his hand in comedy now. So it all depends on. And Daniel Day-Lewis seemed like one of those guys that was handling the aging very, very well. Like we said, Lincoln was fantastic. Or he was fantastic on Lincoln. He was fantastic in There Will Be Blood. And so as he got older, it almost seemed like he became even more interesting of an actor. He's always been a great actor, but he started to open up this aggressiveness and this kind of, like, he never played like villainous characters as a younger man. And obviously Lincoln wasn't, but There Will Be Blood was, and there was intensity to his performances. So a shame if he doesn't act again, because I think he is one of those actors that will be able to, you know, could play an 80-year-old person, or could, you know, as he aged, still get better. But like I said, you know, I never take actors when they retire at face value, so we'll see what happens.
Hey, you mentioned that. Gangs of New York was one of my favorite films. He's obviously the villain in that one as well. But you bring up a really good point. He didn't play a lot of villains in his younger years, and he kind of picked that up. And my understanding is he's a method actor. I would think that wear a little more on a guy playing parts like that and trying to be in that role 24/7.
Well, and you've seen it, like, even with certain people, when they are method, they tend to they tend to burn out. Even comedians like Jim Carrey kind of burned out after Man on the Moon, which is why, you know, you don't see him doing all... you kind of saw him get back into comedies after that, and then you don't really see him doing much now, because even though he is a comedian, he burns himself out. And you get that from certain actors. That's why you take Daniel Day-Lewis, he only acts every 2 or 3 years because he burns himself out. Heath Ledger, you know, the tragedy that happened with that was the same kind of thing. He went all in on all of his performances. And so it what's the word I'm looking for? It basically affects people differently. And so I was intrigued, like I said, the way his career was turning out. I thought he was taking more interesting roles, and I was excited to see where that would go. But, you know, he's decided to hang it up, and we'll see if that lasts.
Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Want to get into what went down at the box office this weekend. The Disney Pixar film Coco led the way, and not only did it do well here in the States, it crushed it in Mexico as well. This movie received great reviews. Now, I've not seen it. I've only heard about it. I've seen the previews, and you know, what's weird is that as I've gotten older, I've gotten more into the Disney Pixar films for whatever reason, but this movie got really good reviews. What have you read and what have you heard about this?
Yeah, you know what? So have I. The older I get, the more intrigued I've been for animated films and that kind of thing, whether it's Pixar or the stuff Laika is doing right now is incredible. So I was excited for this. I have not seen it yet, but everything I heard is fantastic. It really plays on the Day of the Dead. It kind of looks similar to the Book of the Dead, which I want to say was a DreamWorks film that came out a few years ago. But this one seems to be even more gorgeous and have a much better story. What I don't get is I'm reading these reviews that are telling me this is the best Pixar movie since, like, Toy Story 3 or since... And I feel like people are forgetting Inside Out. Inside Out was fantastic. They've had a few, you know, hits or misses with Good Dinosaur and the Cars trilogy, but they haven't been really awful. They had Toy Story 3, like I said, Inside Out, and this seems to be right in that same wheelhouse. And I've heard nothing but fantastic reviews. And it did great. Destroy Justice League, who plummeted like 50%. And I'm not surprised, as you said, by like it being so big in Mexico, as it is more of a Mexican-oriented story in which you don't really get very much from mainstream Hollywood. So I'm not surprised by that. I'm a little surprised that it did that much better than Justice League, but I think it did well. Didn't do crazy, like, I wouldn't say it blew the box office open. It only made like $50 million, but it did very well for what it was.
And when you look at the previews, you mentioned that it really looks like it's beautifully done, it's tastefully done. It looks like the kind of movie, I think, that folks of all ages can certainly enjoy. I'm anxious to see this weekend. I was going to go this past weekend, but I kind of ran out of options. Like, four different shows were sold out, so I didn't have much of a choice. Now, another movie that came out this past weekend, Denzel Washington starred in the Roman J. Israel film. It really didn't do very well. Didn't make a ton of money at the box office. It also didn't receive very good reviews either, you know, despite quite a bit of publicity. Well, why do you think this did so poorly?
I don't know. It seems like one of those where... I don't know. I've heard, like, people in the industry, like, the mixed reviews. So many of the critics, like, it didn't do well. From what I've heard, it's really, like, a Denzel Washington vehicle. I heard he's great in it, like he is in everything. But, I don't really know what... It seems weird that people aren't liking it. It's a little gritty. It's the same writer and director of Nightcrawler, which I thought was fantastic. So I was really looking forward to this. I'll still check it out. I don't think it didn't come out in the right time of year. I think this is not really a Thanksgiving movie. You know, it's pretty dark. It's about a lawyer who kind of like rips people off. So it felt a little weird to come out on Thanksgiving. And I heard it's a little, you know, heavy hand, a little, tries to prove its point too much. But I'm intrigued. I'm still intrigued to see it. I'm not shocked it didn't do that well. But what I am shocked about, as we still talk about the box office, I kind of mentioned this last week with two really solid indie films that I've seen, Lady Bird and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Both of those did just the same amount as Roman J. Israel Esquire did, with about half the amount of theaters as both of them, their theater counts went up, and they're both doing, I mean, they made 4,000 this weekend, which isn't like, or 4 million, which isn't fantastic, but for very low budget movies, only playing at 600 theaters, they're doing fantastic. And I think those numbers will continue to go up, as like Three Billboards has made $7,000 the whole time, but they're still only at 600 theaters. So as those theater count increases, I think both of those films will be seen, and I recommend both of them very highly.
No question about that. I can't wait to check out the Three Billboards film. We almost went and saw that this weekend, but we ended up pulling out last second. Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, we take our attention away from the big screen and we get into the streaming and television aspect of things. You told us about The Good Place a while back. I want to say it was a month, maybe 2 months ago. I ended up watching the entire first season on Netflix. I loved it, thought it was hilarious, thought it was fantastic. I've not had the chance to watch season two, but clearly it's doing extraordinarily well because they have been renewed for a third season, 13 episodes in season three. How many seasons do you think this show can last?
Well, first off, I would love to off the air talk to you about how you feel about that twist ending in season one, because I thought it was fantastic.
Me too.
And this season has really built on that, and it's given Ted Danson, without trying to spoil it, so much more to do, playing so many different emotions, and it just proves that it blows my mind that this guy, you know, he's never been a Hollywood actor, but he's maybe one of the best TV actors of all time. Like, every role he's done has been something different, and he's just been so good. He was so good on Cheers for, like, 10 years. And this is a whole new aspect for him, and he's been knocking it out of the park. And like I said, you haven't seen season two yet, but it's pretty great. I don't see it going past five seasons. I think I may have heard that somewhere. I could be wrong. Because the way that this show, even though it is a sitcom, you know, you see a lot of sitcoms with like 22 episode seasons, but they're not really serial. Like, the way that each episode builds on the story, and I don't think they have enough story in that premise to last more than five seasons without it feeling redundant. They've already done much more than I ever anticipated them doing, and it seems like every idea they have is just genius. And if you go past, like, let's say four or five seasons, that's going to slow down, as you see a lot of these shows, you know, getting this, like, dramas that are built on a serial story. Around the sixth season, they lose creativity. As you saw with, like, Breaking Bad, they decided to end it after five seasons, which was the right decision. And I think you'll get the same thing from The Good Place, as long as they're given that. I think Michael Schur's, the creator who also did Parks and Rec, is a very smart guy, and I think he knows the limitations for this premise. So I would be surprised to see it go past five seasons.
It always seems like me, like, shows like this will test writers. It reminds me of My Name is Earl, which I thought was brilliant for the first two seasons, and then they got crazy with the storyline. Yeah. And that's because, I mean, how many times can you just have them make this list? It almost seems like it might be headed down that track.
Exactly. The difference between these two is because they have shown, especially with that season one twist and what they've done so far in season two, they have shown an ability to change what the story's about in such a grand way that it just works. And everything they do, every time I think, oh, this episode kind of slows down and I wonder what they're going to do next time, and they knock it out. And so I have a little more faith in the creators behind this than My Name is Earl. And I loved the first two seasons of My Name is Earl, but it never seemed like it was just this guy doing this thing every episode. And, like, it seemed very tedious, and eventually it was going to.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt on season one of Good Place, that I thought there's no way they'll be able to keep this going for more than one season. And that's why they were so smart to do what they did. And that's why I think I have so much faith that I think they'll be able to make at least 4 or 5 good seasons.
I hope so. I really enjoy it. I'm about halfway through season two here.
Oh, it's great.
Al, we'll close it out on this one, man. House of Cards going to continue production soon. That's the word. Any idea how they might be able to close this series out without Kevin Spacey? Now, as far as I understand it, they're done filming, but they're going to continue production to try and close the deal on this thing. Any idea how they might do that without Spacey?
I don't know. So they filmed a lot. They have said that Spacey will not be involved going forward, so I don't know if they're going to keep what they've shot from him or, you know, have something happen to him and replace him. I think the best way to just, like, save them is to, you know, try and keep as much as they can, but just having him on screen for more than maybe an episode to, like, write him off is a bad move, in my estimation, because I think people are so over Kevin Spacey that, to me, it's going to be difficult. I don't watch House of Cards, but anyone that's, like, really been, you know, shown for what they are, it's going to be hard for me to watch anything they're in. And so I think their best move is to get – they're going to have to get someone big to replace them. And I don't know if they're going to. I really have no idea what their plan is. They've delayed production again for another, like, month, I think. So they're still planning on doing the season. So we'll see what happens. But I think, like I said – if Kevin Spacey's in for the full season, I just think it's a big mistake, and they're going to lose a lot of viewership.
Al, always a pleasure, my friend. We appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing it again next week.
All right, sounds great. Have a good week, guys. I'll talk to you on Monday.
You got it, Al. Thank you. That's Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.